We're going to talk Tiger baseball, Lions football, and wrap up the conversation about things you learned from YouTube. Let's go to the phones. Emily in Grand Rapids, good morning.
So I'm a family practice PA. I've been doing it a long time, but which means physician assistant, in case you don't know. And, you know, if you learn a lot in school, but there are certain things that unless they just happen to come in while you're in training, you don't learn how to do them. So one day I had someone come in with a really, really, really painful hemorrhoid, and it had a blood clot in it.
Oh, no.
Never removed one before, but what I did was I went on YouTube, I watched a video of a physician cutting a blood clot out of someone's hemorrhoid, and guess what? A couple minutes later, I did it on the patient. Worked perfect. Now, you know how to do it. Also learned how to reduce a finger by watching YouTube, remove some foreign bodies. So, yeah, YouTube is really helpful for medical stuff as well.
Yeah, but it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah. One of the things, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, have you done this before?
Well, I mean, I'll tell my patients, I'll say, I've never done this before, but I'm confident in my skills. You know, I've done this for a long time. You know, I discussed the potential risks with them. But, I mean, you know, every time that you come in to have something done, I mean, there's going to be a first time, and you might be the first person that the practitioner has done it on. You just have to have some trust that we know what we're doing. And guess what? The patient left blood clot free and feeling much, much, much better.
I'm sure. Wow. Well done.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about going to the doctor and be like, I've never done this before, but I'm going to pull up a YouTube video real quick.
She probably left that part out.
Most doctors probably don't tell you that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm picturing, and this is not how it went down, phone in one hand and scalpel in the other. Like, I wonder how I should. All right. Hard pivot into the sports stuff we want to do today. 8:35, there are people fading, doubting, betting against the Detroit Lions. We're going to get to that later in the hour. The Tigers, John, they've roared back. They've won five straight series. They took 2 of 3 against Kansas City. And as they sit here today, they are 10.5, double-digit, leading the American League Central. So what I would like, if the audience would do me a favor.
Okay.
The apology hotline is open. 248-539-9797. If you blamed me, if you thought there was some Costa curse, this is your moment to atone. 248-539-9797, the confessional, the apology hotline. They're not losing this division, John. And it wasn't a ridiculous thing to say then, and it's not a ridiculous thing to say now.
All right. I have been very confident that they were going to win the division. I didn't go as far as you and declare the division was over. I didn't bury the Guardians. They've done that themselves.
Yeah,
they're now 12.5 back, and they've lost 5 in a row. I mean, you can wait as long as you want for callers to call in or text to come in to apologize.
I don't think we're going to get
a lot of those. but you made a statement just like, okay, you went out and placed a futures bet. It's the same thing that you did with declaring the division over. You just placed a futures bet at that time that, you know, the Tigers were going to win the division. You had a lot of things going in your favor. They were playing really good at the time. And they were, I mean, what was it, 15.5 games up at one point?
At one point, yeah.
And I get why you did it. But I also think you have to understand why there were some others, myself included, that were reserved. Because it was so early. And it was, there's so much baseball to be played. And I'm sure you anticipated that there would be
some
a tough
skid.
Stretch.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe not losing 12 of 13.
No, I certainly didn't forecast that.
But this is a team that has been really good at winning series.
Yeah, again, 5 straight series wins. We did this, you were gone. It's like 4th of July right around the holiday, when I declared it, right?
Yeah.
And like, we're going to be wrong about stuff. Like, I will be wrong about stuff. But the idea that there's a jinx, the idea that there's a curse.
You're trying to get after the jinx.
Yes.
After the double-digit disco and now declaring the division over, there was a few moments there where they got down to, 5.5 games, I think, was the lowest?
Yes.
The closest it got to the Guardians at the time?
Yeah, my thing is not like I will never be wrong on the radio. Like doing this, we're going to be wrong a lot. But people who legitimately got panicky about the division and people who legitimately pointed fingers at me, yeah, give me an apology. 248-539-9797. Or we can move the conversation forward, which is what I tried to do in July. It's about locking up a one or a two seed. It's about avoiding playing in the first round. It's about setting your rotation for the playoffs. See, that's what this has all been about. You don't have to love what they did at the deadline. You don't have to think they're winning the World Series. But they're obviously winning this division, and we can move on to bigger and better.
Yeah, and I mean, so in terms of getting the one or two seed, right now they're sitting in the one spot because they've got a game and a half lead on Toronto. The next closest team, I believe, is the Houston Astros, which they just swept. And it's, I believe it's a 5.5 game lead over them. So I'm
plus the tiebreaker. So really it's, you know, add an extra half game in there.
Okay, so six.
Mm-hmm.
With 30 games to go, are you ready to declare that over?
Not yet.
And why not?
I think those teams are better. And the schedule's tougher.
Right, and so part of it is, it's not that the Tigers, yes, they're having a really good season and bordering on a great season, but it's in a division where Kansas City is three games over 500 right now. And we just saw that the Tigers just won a series against them, 2 out of 3. The Guardians are a game below 500. And so part of it is the Tigers were doing so well, and the division is still a division that we thought it would be going into the season. The Tigers aren't the team we thought they would be. They're much better than the – I think you were at 82 and I was at 80.
Yeah.
All right? They surpassed that a long time ago. So it's – But it is part of looking at it going, you know, it's just the fact that the division, the rest of the division is so bad.
If you remember, you and I were right around 500, and right around 500 would put you in contention to win this division. Now, the Tigers are 24 games over 500.
Right.
So they are running away with this division. They have a 10.5 game lead with exactly 30 games to go. They're winning this division. If anybody's on the fence, I don't know what more you need to see. I would hope we're all on the same page. Now, in terms of moving forward, how would you set the rotation right now? Like, what are we doing with Jack Flaherty?
Well, I'll set it with Scooble.
Okay, he starts. Now what,
Master
John?
Master of the obvious. Yeah,
yeah. Great job.
I was being a little bit of a smartass there for you. But Scooble is obviously your number one. You're going to try and get as many starts out of him in any postseason series as possible. But I know the question is, are you going with Mize at 2, Morton at 2, Flaherty at 3 or 4. And, I mean, the way that Morton has pitched, not just since he's been in Detroit, but if you look to the 6 or 8 weeks prior to that, it was a tough April for him. But he has pitched extremely well since then. And I've got to imagine he's your number 2 going into the postseason.
Yeah, I think this is subject to change. Little asterisk on the rotation. You're going to want to go with who's ever rolling at the end of September. Scooble's your 1, Morton's your 2, Mize would be my 3, and Jack Flaherty would be my 4. And if you look at their August ERAs, that's kind of the way it should be. Morton's got the second-best ERA among all the starters for the month of August. And Mize and Flaherty are about the same, but the difference is Mize allows fewer base runners. And when he does, like, I get maybe not being wowed by him, he works out of a lot of jams. And I think when Flaherty's on, he's good. But when he's bad, he's not even someone you want in the rotation. Like, he gave up 6 yesterday in the 4th, instantly takes you out of the game. They rally back, and then he gives up a couple base runners in the 6th.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about getting out of – and I don't remember – I mean, this is a while ago. Casey Mize was pitching against the White Sox. And I think in the first 2 innings, had the bases loaded and came out of it with no runs.
Right.
Like, he does a really good job of getting out of some of those jams. And in the postseason, you're hoping not to have bases loaded because those teams are going to knock in runs. But if there's a runner on second, one out, like, he's a guy that you believe can buckle down and get you out of an inning. Now the question is going to be, it's not necessarily if they go into the postseason with Scooble as 1, Morton as 2. Other than Scooble, I don't know that you're really going to get more than 5 innings.
Yeah, 5, and I'm looking for the bullpen. I'm looking for the matchups.
Right, for any of those guys. And, you know, the game I was at with Morton, it was 3 innings, and then he got hit up in the 4th. We saw with Paddock, you know, he went, what was it, four innings. It was 62 pitches. He was looking really good. And then A.J. Hinch gave him the hook.
Get him out of there before it goes bad.
Went, put Melton in, and I think it was Finnegan after that. It just was A.J. Hinch looking and learning about these guys, this pitching staff, and deciding, hey, Paddock, you're only good for 62. I'm going to take you out while we have the chance. And I think he's going to have to start doing that earlier, even with Morton, but certainly with Jack Flaherty.
248-539-9797. Ticket Texture says, bring back the double-digit disco, Dave and a camper.
They are up double digits.
Haven't you learned yet, Cookies? Re-declaring the division win. Tigers went 11-14 in July and could do the same or worse between now and at the end of the year. Slow your roll, sport. Hit me with a sport.
I just hope that today's not the day that starts another 12 of 13 losses.
If they did lose 12 of 13, Kansas City would have to win.
Right. No, I know. I know what it means for the division, but I'm just talking about the curse. The curse. The curse doesn't have to end in them not making the playoffs or not winning the division, but you're setting yourself up again, calling for apologies. And
am I wrong to be calling for apologies? Do you think this is going to blow up in my face and they're not going to win the American League Central?
No, it's okay. It's not that. I didn't think that they weren't going to not win. There's a lot of no's in there. The division, I was always confident that they would. I just didn't come out and declare it over.
Yeah, you just were more
I was watching
reserved.
The season. And yeah, I was more reserved, which I don't think that's a shock to anyone.
It's not. Mike in Livonia, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Go Blue, John.
What's up?
Go Blue.
So here's the deal. Cookies, I'm okay with you declaring that. I mean, even though, honestly, like, I don't think you ever learned, but it's all right. What are you going to do? We'll take you as is. But my deal is, though, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little pessimistic, and it has nothing to do with your prediction. It has to do more with the fact that the more I see this team, the more I'm like, man, we wasted an opportunity at this trade deadline. Because, I mean, yeah, we had Scooble last year, and yes, you can guarantee a win probably every time he goes out there. But, you know, I'm looking for progression this year, right? And I'm enjoying the season, so I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer. But here's my deal. Like, I wanted to see a progression. We made the playoffs last year. We won the division. So I'm expecting more this year, right? And we actually have a legitimately good team. So, you know, to me, it's like we don't have a second starter. Jack Flaherty yesterday, I'm like, okay, I'm hoping this guy turns it around and becomes that stud that we need behind Scooble. Nope. Flares out again, even though he pitched brilliantly the other day. Casey Mize is a mirage to me. I can't depend on him. And Charlie Morton is 41 years old. Let me repeat that. 41 years old.
Yep.
And he's pitching
well.
You're
really going to count on that guy? I know he is, John, but here's the deal. When it comes to the playoffs, as you guys know, these are the best of the best. And I'm talking about the hitters. They're out there. You know, I don't know. A 41-year-old Kenny Rogers usually don't do well in the playoffs. It tends to be the Justin Verlanders, the Max Scherzers, people with heat, special stuff is all I'm going to say. And so I was looking for Jack Flaherty to step it up this year. He didn't do it. Alex Cobb was a mess. You're looking at Casey Mize. Yeah, he's putting up the stats, but stats can be deceiving. And it's like, all right, who else? I don't think we have anybody else. So
right.
This is where my pessimism comes from.
So they're going to be there. You just don't think they're going to be able to capitalize on it.
I don't think we're going to go that far. I really don't. Like, winning the division is cool and all, but we did that last year. So, to me, where is that progression?
They didn't win the division last year.
It'll be their first division title in 11 years. And I'm certainly not telling you to, like, plan the parade over it, but it is an important milestone for them on the way here.
You know what? Touche. Then I'll take my point back, and if they win a division, maybe that is the progression maybe some people are looking for. But I guess I was looking maybe ALCS.
No, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong to sit and think, boy, we've had the best record in the American League for most of the year. Like, if you went back and looked days in first place, I don't have the stat, John, but I feel pretty confident that it'd be a big number for the Tigers and a smaller number for, like, you know, Toronto and some of these other teams. Detroit's occupied pole position in the American League for most of the season here, and you'd like to feel better about being the American League representative. It's certainly on the table. Someone came up to us earlier and was like, well, what do you think? I go, well, they could, but I think they're in a pack of teams where you could easily say Seattle could, right? Boston could. Toronto could. Houston, I know we've had their number, but they could as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of coulds in this, and that's why you need to be playing your best ball at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I'd love to see Flaherty stop yo-yoing, put 3-4 good starts together, and start to challenge for a higher spot in that pecking order, that rotation. 248-539-9797. We're going to talk Lions football at 8:35 this morning. People betting against this team. It's 97-1.
Hey, Detroit, it's Heather. Did you know military veterans in our area are holding on to millions in debt? That's why Verizon is partnering with the Detroit Lions to tackle it head on. At Verizon, they know how valuable veterans are. They employ over 8,000 of them, and they don't want to see veterans held back by financial debt. So they're stepping up, committing to eliminate up to $1 million in veteran debt in the greater Detroit area this year. And for every Lions win, $100,000 will be eliminated. And that's not all. Verizon is giving active military and veteran families a special mobile plan discount starting at just $25 per line a month for 4 lines on unlimited welcome. And they're backing it with a 3-year price lock guarantee. Verizon is freeing some of our best from financial burdens. Stop by a Verizon store to learn more and see how they're honoring veterans today. Discount for personal lines only for military and veterans. Approved verification documents required. Auto pay and paper free billing required. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Royals hit up Jack Flaherty on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's this yo-yo, man. It's like every other start from this guy. He has not strung together like 3 in a row all year.
No, it's been a roller coaster, and not at all. I mean, everybody was excited when they got Jack Flaherty back. It was kind of one of those things where, hey, you know, you trade him away at the trade deadline, and you always think, oh, well, if we get him back next year. It never happens, but they did. And he has not been the guy – and he wasn't the guy for L.A. in their World Series run that he was for the Tigers early in the season last year.
Tech says, you guys are so focused on the division when in reality the division doesn't matter. What matters is playoff success, and I don't see how they have any success with how bad the pitching staff has been top to bottom the last couple months.
If you include that 12, the losing 12 of 13 in that, which if you're including the last couple of months, sure. And you look at Skubal's ERA. You mentioned it earlier. Last month?
In August, it's 3.5.
3.5. And he had two subpar or sub-Skubal starts.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and throws a gem last time. So, yeah, that plays into it. But I think – I don't know that people have as much confidence as maybe some do in this pitching staff, because when you look at it and you see, you know, Paddock gave you 4 good innings. All right. I know his ERA is not great, but they're starting to learn how to use them. And I think they're going to have to modify how they're using Flaherty, how they're, you know, using even Morton, who's been good for the most part, but he has had a start where he was really good for 3 innings and then got hit, you know, in the 4th.
Yeah, and to clarify, I'm not worried about the division. I'm not focusing on the division, to his point. Like, all of my discussion has been about the deadline and the postseason and the focus on going as far as this team possibly can. They've been in first place for so long. Like, that's really what this is going to come down to. Tech says, not even the Costa curse can stop the Tigers. World Series, Mike in a truck. Thanks, Costa. You just launched the 10-game losing skid. And Tech says, I raised my hand. I apologize for saying the Costa curse was real. And making that cat comment wasn't so nice either. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, police are still working to find the person responsible for fatally shooting a 16-year-old boy at a Detroit playground on Saturday night. Officials say the teen was found with a gunshot wound to the head at Butzel Park. He was taken to the hospital but died of his injuries. As of this morning, no arrests have been made, and police have not released details about a person of interest or a potential motive. Mm. It's such a sad story. Hey, for Detroit Lions fans, there's a way to skip the drive around Lake Michigan and start the game day party early as you head to the season opener in Wisconsin.
Love this.
The SS Badger offers a unique way to get to the season opener against the Packers at Lambeau Field on September 7th. So the Badger provides, they say, a scenic and stress-free alternative to highway travel, allowing fans to kick off their game day experience with a relaxing, enjoyable journey. Obviously, there's food, there's drinks, there's entertainment, and they're going to do some themed activities, Lions-themed activities. They're encouraging everyone to wear their Lions gear. I'm guessing if you're headed to the game, you're going to be in your Lions gear anyway.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're just taking a trip on the SS Badger, wear your gear anyhow. It pushes off from Ludington at 9 a.m. daily, travels the 60 miles across Lake Michigan in about 4 hours. Once you dock, you have about a 45-minute drive to get to the game.
It's a great way to travel. Have you ever done it, Heather?
I haven't, no.
No, I haven't either.
Not surprising that you haven't. It's
I've been to Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm sure you've been to Wisconsin, but you don't like to do
times.
All of the great things that Michigan has to offer, like Bronner's or getting to the
UP. SS Badger.
Yeah, the SS Badger is awesome. It's a great trip, and it is a great way to avoid all the traffic and whatever can happen around Chicago.
Pretty cool. I mean, I think it'd be a fun experience.
It is. And it's great to do with kids, too, because there's a lot of activities for kids.
And they can move, right? They're not stuck in a car seat, trapped in there, and as well as adults. Yep. Mm-hmm. You can move around, too. Kirk Herbstreit got pretty emotional, teared up a little bit, as he shared a tribute to Lee Corso to his final game day broadcast on ESPN. So his final broadcast, he's 90, which is insane to me that he's just wrapping up his career now at 90 years old, will be on August 30th. And over the weekend, College Game Day posted this really heartfelt tribute, and it included everyone. I mean, Corso was in it, too. It's like they cut to, like, clips of him watching the tribute, which was touching, so he's got tears in his eyes. But everyone was crying, former colleagues, family members, friends, fans. And Herbstreit kind of wrapped up the tribute. He closed it out, and he couldn't even get through the first sentence without choking up.
He really is one of one, and I mean, College Game Day is synonymous with Lee Corso. The helmets, just his antics. It's been a great run for him. I'm glad he's going to get one more this coming weekend. I think it's going to be. There's going to be a lot of people tuned in for all of the moments that I'm sure they're going to share.
One of the things people love about college football is personality.
Yep.
And Game Day is one way that they use to really let that personality out. And the Sunshine Scooter, Lee Corso. I think people should watch this because it's been, you know, he's not what he once was, but you got to remember that the institution that Lee Corso was on game day.
Yeah.
Jim, have you already taken some vacation days next year in February? Did you request some days
off?
Not
yet. Should I?
Well, I thought you might want to mark this on your calendar. Yeah, there's the 2026 nude cruise kicking off from Miami.
As many cruises do.
February 9th through the 20th, going to all the ABC Islands, as they're called. And it's going to make multiple stops, right? You're going to stop at the Bahamas and this private island that's
A nudist colony.
Nude-friendly. Yeah. But it's not just the islands that are nude-friendly. The entire ship is nude-friendly. There's a lot of rules you have to follow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, maybe this isn't for you. They do say it is not a swingers experience. They do say it's non-sexual in nature. So, I don't know. Look into it. Talk to Kelsey. See what she's up to. But it says...
Or into.
Yeah. True.
I don't like you very much.
When the ship is at sea or anchored, passengers can be nude on board. When the ship is docked at port, all passengers must be dressed throughout the vessel, including balconies, until the ship leaves port. The self-service buffet, another clothes-free area.
You have to have clothes on.
No, clothes-free.
For the buffet?
For the buffet?
Ugh.
The self-serve buffet is a clothes-free area. However, clothing is required at all meals in the dining room. If you're going to the dining room, it's classier there in the dining room. The buffet, not so much. So you must sit on a towel at all times while you're nude. Or even if you're in a G-string or a thong, you still must sit on a towel. And the passengers that break any of these rules or etiquette will be kicked off the cruise without a refund.
It leaves.
We're going to send you on the dinghy back to the closest port. At least you don't have to pack much.
Oh, not at all. Just a towel.
You said February 9th?
Yes, through the 20th. So it's a long cruise.
You can celebrate the Super Bowl there.
The day after the Super Bowl. they leave from port. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, people betting against the Lions. We'll get to it next, 97.1. All right, guys. This time of year, we're all about football. Lions fans, it's time to roar louder than ever. The 2025 season is kicking off. We're putting a preseason behind us. The ultimate way to celebrate is with 1800 Tequila. The world's most awarded tequila is the official tequila of the Detroit Lions. pregame tailgates, postgame celebrations. 1800 Tequila brings smooth, bold flavor to every moment. You could sip it in a sideline marg or enjoy it straight. Either way, you're raising your glass to a championship season. Make 1800 Tequila part of your game day lineup all season long. Victory never tasted so good. 1800 Tequila, official tequila of our Detroit Lions. Proximo, 1800tequila.com. Please drink responsibly. In addition to taking your apologies for my my attacks, we're talking Tiger baseball, and we're going to talk some Lions football, and how about a little bit of Red Wings later in the show as well. We're going to be joined by Alex DeBrinket in 1 hour. He's going to be one of the guests today at the Illich Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. We'll talk to DeBrinket at 9:35 and Tiger legend Alan Trammell at 9:02.
Yeah, excited to have both those guys on. Yeah.
Now, with the Lions, you saw ESPN bet says the Lions are the team most bet to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, and I saw this on Friday, so I've had a chance to stew on it a little bit this weekend, and I'm just curious as to why. Now, some of it might be as simple as it's just a really good value bet, and there are a lot of people that are looking at the Lions going unproven middle of the offensive line, new coordinators, no edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson, and the tough schedule, especially to start the season in those first six games. All of those could be legitimate reasons why you think that they may not produce or be the team that they were the last couple of years. I don't think that the Lions are going from a 15-2 team, even though they have all those changes and some of those things that they haven't addressed, to out of the playoffs. I don't think this schedule will require them to miss the playoffs. I don't think they're going to go 0-6 to start the season.
How can they miss the playoffs if they win the division? I thought you were guaranteed a playoff spot if you won the division.
Right.
And again, they've owned this division.
But some of it might just be the value that I was talking about, because you're not good. There's not value in the Cleveland Browns betting them not to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, but then why are people picking on the Lions? And maybe it's for valid reasons. Like, we've discussed a lot of those concerns, but to the degree that they'd miss the playoffs, like, you're betting on Goff being injured. Like, barring a catastrophic injury, John, you and I don't think they're missing the playoffs, but we want to hear from people. Are we missing something? Are you one of these people who's made the bet or expects them to miss the playoffs? 248-539-9797. John, in their division, it's a first-year head coach in Ben Johnson, and I know in Chicago they are the kings of the offseason championship. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done with Caleb Williams developmentally.
Yeah.
Maybe eventually they are this big, scary juggernaut. They are not right now. The Minnesota Vikings, they were a turnover-dependent team a year ago. They got an overwhelming surprise season from Sam Darnold. I don't predict they're getting some big surprise out of J.J. McCarthy, who didn't throw a ton of passes at Michigan and didn't play at all last year.
Yeah.
Would you rather replace your quarterback or your coordinator? I'd rather replace my coordinator.
Yeah, or would you rather replace your quarterback or your center?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's I'm still trying to wrap my head around, and I think part of it might also be Lions fans are still relatively new to having a competent franchise and a winner year in and year out. Like, and I think there are a lot of fans that think, like the drop that we play, like they missed their window. Hey, you made it to the NFC Championship game. Maybe it was a little ahead of schedule last year. Okay, it was 15-2. Now there's a mass exodus in the coaching staff. Frank's not there. Like, you have all of these things, and I think there's a lot of people that are questioning, can the Lions really be an organization that wins year in and year out?
Yeah, I think they are. And maybe that's new to people, because it is new to us. I mean, we're not used to this. But at the same time, this isn't an accident. Like, the Lions didn't accidentally make the NFC title game two seasons ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
They rebounded to win 15 games. And yes, it was a disappointing exit to the Commanders. They shouldn't have lost that football game. Like,
no, but they're still a good team.
That's my point.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that's a valid reason, but I do think it is a fan reason. it's a fan reason to say, well, it was the early exit to Washington, and they throw up their hands and say, yeah, it's all over. Because it's a long road to get back to the playoffs. And nobody is really looking at the regular season going, okay, if they win a division, hey, that's great, but they're out early in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and that's not good enough. I mean, that Super Bowl is the only thing that will define this football team, but people betting that they're going to miss the playoffs entirely, betting them more than anybody else, right? And I understand, you know, they're 10.5 wins. Maybe they're a team people are looking at to take a step back. We did those, what was it, last week, team take a step back. Why not bet the Commanders to miss the playoffs? They got an old defense who can't stop the run or rush the passer.
Right.
Why not bet the Rams, whose quarterback's got a messed up back? Why not bet, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Niners, I happen to think they got a zombie run back from the dead in them, but bet them to miss the playoffs. Why the Lions?
Again, I think it's more issues this offseason than anybody has had to deal with. And I think there is some, I don't know why, but maybe some distrust built up in is this Dan Campbell's offense, or did the offense leave with with Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I think the offense is Dan Campbell's offense.
You and I we've said that from moment one.
But I think Dan Campbell's offense and Ben Johnson's offense both work better when the interior of our offensive line sinks their hooks into people and manhandles them off the line of scrimmage, and then it sets up the play-action pass. I think you have pointed this stat out, that last year between straight run plays and play-action pass plays, wasn't like 75% of the time, three-quarters of the time, the Lions' offensive line got to fire out of their stance. Those guys need to crystallize for this team to hit their ceiling. But, John, even without Frank Ragnow, this team should have won the division last year. Like, I almost wonder how far people are going with the doubts. 248-539-9797. Let's hear from some of you guys. Mike and Troy, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Hey, John, it's freezing. I just got back from Florida for the last 2 weeks. It was 95 degrees, but it was fall in the air and it's football. Like I told
it
you,
is.
Paul, you're going to have a guy that played no NFL games and one guy that has one game experience on the offensive line. I can't do it, John. I got him going 9-8, and the problem is, when you can't lose a Zeitler and a Ragnow and replace it with a rookie and a guy one game. It's not going to work. The Lions ran the ball up the middle. They were the best. When Zeitler was not in the games, they didn't run the ball well. So that's why I believe they're not going to make the playoffs, and then Goff's going to be running for his life. I mean, it is what it is.
So in your estimation, it's going to be a jailbreak for 17 games right up the middle.
No, I'm not going to say that's going to be a jailbreak, but listen, John, you played offensive line. Would you trust a rookie that ever played a game and a guy that's played one game next to you?
No, I mean, trust isn't the issue. It's development. And I would expect that there's going to be a learning curve for Mahogany and for Ratledge at the beginning of the season. And they get thrown into the fire in Green Bay. It's not an easy place to play and hear your quarterback, hear checks, hear all of those things, make calls in an environment like it will be at Lambeau Field to start the season. But then they played Chicago at home. And they're going to have to get there quick because the first six games are tough. And I'm not sitting here saying that they're the same offensive line or nearly as good as they were last year. I don't have trust that they're going to be that. But I have trust that Hank Fraley is going to develop them throughout the course of the season, and that they're going to put them in position for success. If running between the A and B gaps is not there, then don't do it.
Well,
last
I hope
year.
I'm wrong on this. I hope I'm wrong, guys, and I hope you guys have a wonderful time in Oakland Hills. But like I said, I hope I'm wrong. But if you win the games with the O-line and D-line, I have a little issues. But the O-line, I'm scared to death, guys. I really am.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
I understand it.
I get it. Yep. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening, and welcome back from Florida. It is football weather now. John, last year, I remember the Green Bay game where Dan Campbell, it was the Thursday night short week, and he put it on his offense, and they had to go for it damn near every time. They shouldn't have to be the number one offense in the NFL this season, right? Like, Aiden Hutchinson back for a full season should help the defense. Terrion Arnold getting baptized by fire, playing the most man coverage snaps of any corner last year, having him take a step forward. They have a great secondary. They've got Aiden Hutchinson. Do I wish they had one more edge guy? You know our stance on that. But the defense should be better than it was a year ago. The offense shouldn't have to be number one, number two, number three in the league, and certainly not to make the playoffs. I mean, right. Super Bowl is a different conversation. 248-539-9797. ESPN Bet says the Lions are the team most bet to miss the playoffs. Do you agree with that? What are they seeing? What are we missing? It's 97-1.
Hey, I hope you mark your calendars. If not, you need to do it now because tomorrow's a special day for FanDuel. It's FanDuel Futures Day. It's a new holiday for football fans. 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. And I've been giving you a handful. I'm going to give you a couple more right now. MVP race. Good value in Jaden Daniels. Sophomore season, maybe Washington, they win that division. He's going to be in the running for it. 10's going to get you 100. You want to crown a Super Bowl champ in August? I'll give you an AFC contender, the Bills, at plus 700. Out of the NFC, we always love our Lions. Go with the plus 1,100 there. Or you could parlay your division dark horses, and those would be the winners. So take a look at the NFC. Washington, Detroit, Tampa, Arizona. A couple long shots in there, but that's what we do. 10 is going to get you a couple of pennies shy of 700 bucks. Mark your calendars. Tomorrow's the day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your future bets now because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We'll be joined this morning by Alan Trammell coming up at 9:02 and Alex DeBrincat at 9:35. We're out live. The Illich Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. They've got the red carpet to John's right as all the celebrities walk right past him and into this event here at Oakland Hills Country Club, which, by the way, they are really making some progress on that building over there.
Oh, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what it's going to look like inside. Well, I don't know if I'll ever get to see it, but maybe one day.
Fortunate enough. We got some calls on the Lions. They're the most bet team to miss the playoffs. Let's hear from some of the people on this. John, you're next up on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. So I'm kind of betting against them. I do think they'll go to the playoffs, but I don't have them going to the Super Bowl. And it's not because I don't believe in them. It's just because of the strength of the schedule. I'm factoring in, and I hope not, injuries that may occur during the season. So I just don't know if they have it to win the Super Bowl, but I do think that they will go to the playoffs. You know, they have a
Let me ask you about the injuries. Who are you most concerned about? Because injuries can happen not just to the Lions. They're going to happen to other teams as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that they won't happen to other teams. For the Lions, I don't think Aiden will get injured again, and at least I hope not. But it's just, it could be an unexpected injury. Like, I know at Ford Field, a lot of people get injuries because they stub their toe or something on the turf. Little stupid injuries that, they might miss a game or two. In that game that they might miss might be a very key game. Like,
John, I guess I just look at it like this. I would tell you this. Injuries could happen to any team, any player, any time, Ford Field or otherwise. I'd have a hard time believing the Lions will have more injuries this year than they did last year. So I don't really view that as like a valid reason to be concerned. Now, if you want to tell me schedule's tougher, so there's a chance they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs, that they may have to play an extra playoff game. If you tell me I don't think the young offensive line can gel quickly enough to win the Super Bowl, like that stuff I do understand. If you say, hey, I just don't think we're a Super Bowl team. Okay. What I don't get is people betting on him to miss the playoffs.
Well, so when he's talking about injuries, and here's where I'm not going to back him up on this because there's going to be injuries around the NFL. They will happen to other teams, and there will be significant injuries. We already seen for the Chargers, right? They lost their best offensive lineman. Is last year, offensively, they were one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. I think they only missed 10 starts, and I think, four of those were Montgomery in the backfield at the end of the season. I don't think they have a rash of injuries on the defense like they did last year, and I think Aiden is going to have a hell of a season. But there is risk that it could happen offensively where we've seen them play without Taylor Decker. So, again, that doesn't necessarily concern me. I think they can get by with that, but if it happens early in the season – and now you've got a lesser tackle playing next to Mahogany. That is, that's a concern.
Well, and you don't want to start, I know the schedule's tough, but you don't want to be like 2-4, 2-5 or something like that. You do got to at least hold serve early to get those guys feet under them and, and get McNeil back later in the season and have some of those more winnable games late on the schedule. Hey, on the Aiden thing, you'll appreciate this. At practice last week, he talked about there was a moment earlier in camp where he had one of those leg whips to when he got injured. And it was like this big moment for him where he's like, oh, that's right. I got the steel rod in my leg. Like, I'm going to be okay. Like, I think he's going to have a very big year for the Lions.
Yeah, and for him, it's all about building trust in his rehab, which I'm sure, you know, he put in the work. He knows what he's doing. But it's when you get caught in those piles for the first time and your body's getting mangled, is it really going to hold up? And, you know, until that happens in a game or in a similar situation where he's flying around the quarterback and somebody hits him that he wasn't expecting to be there, like all of those things, when I did my ankle – until I was in a pile and I felt like, okay, yeah, everything was, you know, all of the screws, the rods, all that stuff is holding up, that's where you start to really develop the trust in your own body.
Marcus is next up in Clinton Township. Marcus, good morning.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Man, we sitting here at work listening to you guys, and these fair weather fans, like my partner say, you know, basically bandwagon. You know, the Lions, they ain't gonna do this, they ain't gonna do that. Dan, you're gonna make the playoffs. Are you kidding me, John? What is wrong with them?
Yeah, I agree. We're trying to figure out what the deal is. If it's just a good value bet, then so be it. But what are the real reasons why they're betting them not to make the playoffs?
I just don't understand when last year we won 15 games with people sitting at home. Now we got majority of our guys back, and they thinking that we're going to go 9-8. I don't understand these people in the city. I really don't.
I don't either. I thought we had banished a lot of that, by the way. I thought the exorcisms of the last couple seasons, right, back-to-back division titles, winning a couple playoff games.
I expect this to be a run for a number of years where we're looking back on – and because you look at Kansas City, and I know they got sprinkled, you know, Super Bowls sprinkled in there, but you pencil them in as division winners, and they've been division winners for, what, 8 years in a row now? Buffalo.
Buffalo's another one, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. So why is it that we can't have that same thing here in Detroit?
Oh, I would expect this team to rattle off a couple more division titles here in the next couple seasons.
Yeah.
And, again, that doesn't mean you're winning a Super Bowl. But I think this core should be together the next couple seasons and should have shots to win the championship.
Yeah.
I don't see missing the playoffs. 248-539-9797. As preseason's done, as we sit here, is there any roster drama you're looking for in the next couple days here?
No, not for the roster that's currently there. I mean, that's the thing. They're going to be cutting some good players. They'll be picked up by other teams, and hopefully they can hide some guys on the practice squad. I think we're all in the agreement that Hendon Hooker won't be on the 53. It's going to be Kyle Allen. I don't think that's
– you good with it?
I'm fine with that. I don't think there's any drama there. I think the only drama is the guy that we have been talking about is still not signed. That's Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, when I was at practice Thursday, someone came up and just said, hey, if it was going to happen, wouldn't it have already happened by now?
Well, okay, so to say that anywhere around the league, if it's going to happen anywhere. So maybe the fact is Za'Darius just doesn't want to play football anymore. And if that's the case, then, hey – happy retirement. But if he does, I still think that there's still plenty of time for them to sign him to be an impact this year and an impact against Green Bay and Chicago.
You think he can still be an impact week one if he showed up practice today?
I would say 7 to 10 days to get ramped up and he's ready to go.
Because I could see the argument where they say, we want him. We want to get it done. If he's not 100% for Green Bay, we want him to be 100% in January.
I if he is here by Thursday or Friday, I think everything will be just fine because you promoted from within for the DC. I don't expect that there's going to be changes from what the defense he was in last year, but the terminology in large part will be the same.
We got Alan Trammell after the updates, 97.1.